Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Cancer Awareness Month series on the Super Morning Show. This is episode 4. So far this week, we've had great conversations. We've had conversations on understanding cancers, the various processes in investigating cancers. And the previous edition, we discussed cancer therapy options, the surgical options. Now, today we are going to discuss chemotherapy and radiation when it comes to cancer therapy options. And our guest is Dr. Stephen Pachi. He's a clinical and radiation oncologist, and he joins us to discuss the topic with us, cancer therapy options, chemotherapy, and radiation. If you remember our conversation with Dr. Ako Boham, he said that you have the surgical options when you are when it comes to cancer therapy. But there are some other options that are also used depending on the type of cancer, the stage in which it is, and the investigative report. So Dr. Pachi is going to give us more details on the other options here on the Super Morning Show. Doc, good morning and welcome to the Super Morning Show.
Good morning and thank you very much. Thank you to the listeners who have made time to listen to us this morning.
Now, you are an oncologist. Clinical and radiation oncologist. When we say somebody is an oncologist, what does it mean? What does a person do?
Okay, so you just mentioned that you spoke to a surgeon. Surgeons are doctors who basically perform surgery or do operations, as we call it in Ghana. Another branch of medicine is what we call oncology. So an oncologist is a doctor who studies and specializes in the treatment, like the knowledge about the treatment of cancers, and actually does treatment of cancers. So such a person is termed an oncologist. So, I mean, we have medical oncologists, we have a radiation oncologist. The medical oncologist uses chemotherapy and other related medications, whereas radiation oncologist uses radiation or radiotherapy, as we may have heard before. And a clinical oncologist does both. So I do both.
Okay, so you're a man who cuts across those two fields.
Exactly.
In your experience, how bad is the cancer situation in the country?
It's a lot. I mean, if we want to talk about, maybe let me narrow down, since it's we are in October, let me just, come to breast cancer just to give you a glimpse of what the issue is like in the country. So let me use breast cancer as an example. In Ghana, for example, according to the available data with GlobalCan 2022, in the year 2022, Ghana recorded over 5,000 new cases of breast cancer. And then, so that alone gives you a fair idea of the volume of cases of breast cancer in the country. Whereas in the same year, we lost more than half of, about 50% of the same number of people died from breast cancer. So it gives you a fair idea of how serious the issue is.
And these are numbers recorded in the hospital. So there are some people who never made it to a hospital to be examined or be treated for these cancers, right?
Exactly. And like I mentioned, I mean, the treatment facilities in Ghana, we have Kwalibu Komfo-Anoche, Sweden Ghana Medical Center. There are a lot of other district hospitals that patients turn up who never make their way to these big facilities that I mentioned, and they never get to be counted as part of this statistics. So you can see how serious this issue may be if we are able to get all the numbers. So it is a big concern.
We learned earlier this week that when it comes to liver cancer, for example, we have about 2,900 diagnoses averagely a year. And out of that, 2,400 die. And most of them, when they report to the hospitals, it doesn't take long and we lose them. So cancers generally are becoming a canker in the country.
This is a big problem. You see, I also think that we are beginning to notice them. You know, those days when in the villages, you often hear that some uncle or some auntie has passed away and you never get to know what the issue was. You never get to know what happened to the person. It is possible that some of these cases were cancers that were never diagnosed, who never had any treatment. And even now, with the changes in our lifestyle and all of that, more and more cancers are getting diagnosed each and every day. So yes, it's really an issue of concern. I wanted to just, you mentioned liver cancer. I don't know whether you want us to stick to breast cancer or we can...
No, we have
to go all around.
Cancers in general. And for today, on this episode, we want you to take us through chemotherapy and radiation. And so based on the background you've given us, we will get into chemotherapy, we'll get into radiation as options for cancer therapy. But you can go ahead and say whatever you wanted to add to the liver cancer conversation.
Yes. So with the liver cancer data, actually liver cancer, the number of cases diagnosed according to GlobalCan 2022 in the year 2022 were 3,731. That were the new cases diagnosed. And then look at this. I just mentioned 3,731. And in that same year, 3,362 people died from liver cancer.
Wow.
So it gives you the volume of, you know, how serious that issue is. You know, so that is one of the issues. And then when you look at, in terms of the total, if you put all cancers in Ghana together, breast cancer is the commonest, followed by liver cancer, being the second on the chart. And then after that, you have cervical cancer, and then you have prostate cancer, and then the lymphomas and all the others. So just to let you know about the others, which we usually do not mention. Yes.
So if somebody is diagnosed of any of these cancers, they have an option of getting surgery, chemotherapy, or radiation. Now, I have heard of chemotherapy several times, but I want to know from you, what really is chemotherapy and how does it work to fight cancer?
Yes, so chemotherapy, as has often been mentioned, I mean, it's just another name for a drug or a medicine. Just like you have malaria, you go for malaria tablets. Maybe you have some infection, you get an antibiotic. So chemotherapy is just a special name that has been given to medications that are used to treat cancer. Now, there are different types of chemotherapies. And the choice of the type of chemotherapy depends on the type of cancer you are treating. And then it depends on the stage of the disease that you are treating. It also depends on certain peculiar features of that particular cancer that you are treating. And then added to chemotherapy, we have something we call targeted therapy. And then we have the immunotherapies. All of these are medications or drugs that are used to treat cancer. So often when you go to the hospital or you meet an oncologist, he will get details based on the type of cancer, the stage, and then certain features. We call them receptors. There are some cancers that may have certain receptors or certain immunological features that allows your oncologist to choose the appropriate chemotherapy or the appropriate cancer medicine that is used to treat that particular cancer.
So you mentioned that chemotherapy is using medication to fight cancer. You use malaria as an example. The few times I've had malaria, sometimes I'm given injections, sometimes I'm given pills to take. There were a couple of times that where I was put on IVs. Is it the same or this is different? The delivery of these medicines, is it the same as we have for the other diseases or is it different in the case of cancer?
Okay. So just like other medications, we have some chemotherapy medications that are given as IV medications. For example, the way somebody receives a drip in the hospital, you see the bag of drip being hung out there and then it runs slowly through a cannula that has been placed on your hand or any other part of the body. So the same way we have some chemotherapy medications that are given in the form of a drip. Now, we also have some chemotherapy medications that are given, I mean, that are swallowed as pills, just like we take malaria pills. And then the same way we have some others that are given as direct injections. So there's a difference between a drip and then there's a difference between the one that somebody will hold a needle and give you the injection directly, maybe within a few seconds and it's done. So there are widely different types of chemotherapies, and then these methods of administration can be employed at any time depending on which medication that is being given.
I've also seen a lot of conversations and also seen friends who have undergone chemotherapy and have suffered from hair loss. Some of them, for example, yesterday I gave the example of a friend who recently was treated for breast cancer. And these days she says whatever she eats, she throws up. She always has nausea. She's always tired. So what side effects should patients expect when they go through chemotherapy, and how can they manage these side effects?
Thank you very much. I think it's very important we talk about the side effects, because most people wouldn't want to hear the word chemotherapy because of the side effects that they have heard before. Now, why do people have side effects? Let me just explain that before I talk about the type of side effects that can be experienced. So the chemotherapy medications are designed to target cancer cells. Now, the medications are able to target cancer cells because of some unique quality or unique abilities of the cancer cells, which is they grow very fast, more than the normal human body cells. So the design of the chemotherapy is such that they target fast-growing cells most of the time. Now, there are certain cells in the human body which are not cancer cells, but they are features. They also have fast-growing abilities that tends to intersect those abilities of the cancer cells. So this makes the cancer cells, this makes these particular cells vulnerable when it comes to, receiving chemotherapy. So for example, the hair follicles. You remember that when you cut your hair, sometimes within 2 days after cutting your hair, even if it is Sakura, you realize that the hair starts growing already. You
can tackle like and realize that. And Winston, when we cut our hair, it takes 2 months to grow. God is our barber.
Exactly. So you realize that the hair follicles, they have fast growing ability. So that ability intersects with most of the cancer cells. And because of that ability, they get affected by chemotherapy. So people, one of the common side effects is hair loss. Let me quickly add that the hair loss is reversible. I always tell my patients that, look, when you lose your hair, I understand that it's a difficult thing, especially for most of the women. Their hair is very important to them, and some men as well. So I do let them understand that the hair loss is going to grow back. It's not going to be forever. So it's a very important thing to take note of. Now, another common thing is nausea and vomiting. I mean, I've had some patients who have received chemo and then they call you and it's so much of a concern. They can't put in anything through their mouth because of the nausea and vomiting. But these are also manageable. In fact, we have newer medications that are used to manage nausea and vomiting. So for people, it's not everybody who gets those side effects. Let me just add that too. So I have some patients, I mean, I just saw somebody not long ago who said, look, I didn't experience anything. I only had some small body pains. And the person was wondering that whether they received the right medication. I said, yes, you did. But they didn't have the nausea and vomiting, all those symptoms that other people have talked about. So yes, nausea and vomiting is one, but it's not everybody who experiences that. And for those who do, there are remedies. I mean, we can give you medications on subsequent chemotherapy cycles that can prevent that from happening. And then another common side effect is sometimes your blood level can drop. So for every chemotherapy cycle, we are going to be monitoring the people who are on it. We do the monitoring to make sure that they don't have those, their blood level doesn't go down below a particular threshold level so that they can be fit, and then also they can complete their treatment adequately. I mean, there are many more. I don't know whether time will allow me to state
let's add a bit more, because that's why we are doing this. We want to educate the public, because look, I know people who don't want to have any form of treatment because they say that when they do that, they cannot continue their work or maintain normal activities. And so they just keep hanging in, and before you know, we would have lost them. So please go ahead and tell us about it, so that we get complete knowledge to be able to face cancer face to face and squarely.
Exactly. Thank you very much for allowing me. Now, other common side effects, there are some people who have sores in their mouth. Sometimes they may not actually have, you can't see an obvious sore, but they have this sense of extreme pepper in their food after chemotherapy. This is also as a result of, you know, the cells that line our mouth, they grow very fast. So they also tend to be susceptible to chemotherapy. So most people may complain about having sores in their mouth after chemotherapy. Another common side effect is skin changes. There are some people that when they are put on some chemotherapy medication, they will notice that the color of their palm becomes darker. There are some people whose complexion actually changes. So somebody who used to be light skin might begin to notice that their color or their complexion sort of like tones a bit or darkens a bit as a result of the chemotherapy. But to quickly add that these ones are also reversible. And then there are some people who have changes to their nails. So some people may notice whilst they're on chemotherapy that their nail bed looks darker than it used to be before they actually started the chemotherapy. So these are all some of the side effects that may be noticed. And then I also have some of my patients who do complain that they feel unwell, they feel extremely tired, and some feel weak, especially the first 3 to 5 days after chemotherapy. But you see, to be able to go through your chemotherapy and have less of these side effects, there are things that can be done. For example, it's good for the individual to get adequate rest. And also, when they take their chemotherapy, we advise that you try and stay well hydrated. You know, when you take in adequate amounts of water, it allows for the chemotherapy medication to do its work at the right time and then to get out of the body. So all of this allows the experience of receiving the chemotherapy to be better. And also, I want to add that when somebody is on chemotherapy and you have side effects, it's always good to mention that to your doctor, to your oncologist, or whichever doctor has or is monitoring your treatment. Why? Because, like I mentioned, there are newer forms of medications that can be added that can make the experience better. But if you don't talk about them, then your doctor doesn't know that you have any side effects, and they do not get the opportunity to be able to, you know, give those medications and make your experience better. So by and large, it's important to keep your oncologist informed when you are on treatment, so that, you know, it's a journey, and we want to walk that journey with you. We want to be there. We want to be able to help you along the way and to do the best that we can so that the experience is not a bad one.
This is the Cancer Awareness Month on the Super Morning Show on Joy 99.7 FM. Our guest this morning is Dr. Stephen Pachi. He's a clinical and radiation oncologist talking to us about treatment options. Yesterday, we spoke about surgical options. Today, we are talking about chemotherapy and radiation. And so far, he's taking us through chemotherapy. Now, Doc, when do we have to go for radiation therapy? And how does that differ from chemotherapy?
Yeah, that's very good. I wish I could even show diagrams, but this is a radio. So, all right. So, just like the way the chemotherapy works, you know, chemotherapy, when somebody takes a drug, it goes into the blood and then it circulates through all of the person's body or their system. So not too long ago, it was realized that that thing called radiation, when you expose it to cells, it is able to cause some changes in the cells and can actually result in some of the cells to die away. So this radiation treatment was invented and now it's being used to treat cancer. So radiation is unlike surgery, where you go to theater and then, you know, go through an operation and all of that. And it's unlike medications that you receive an injection or a drip or you swallow a tablet. But it is something you don't see with your eyes. It's like the sun's rays, the sun's radiation. So it is directed to where there is a tumor or where there is potential smaller invisible cancer cells. Now, the radiation interacts with the cancer cells and then causes a damage of the DNA of the cancer cells. And then with time, the cancer begins to die away or begins to shrink away. Now, it is not everybody who will require radiation treatment for a diagnosis of cancer. There are certain types of cancers that do require radiation treatment. One of the common types of cancers is breast cancer. And then for some people who have certain types of cancers, we call soft tissue sarcomas. For people who have cervical cancer, people who have cancers of the head and neck region, people who have brain tumors. So these individuals will require radiation treatment either in the beginning or later on in the course of their treatment. Now, another thing I want to add is that radiation treatment is usually delivered in smaller doses. So somebody might be on radiation treatment for example, somebody who is on treatment for cancer of the prostate may have radiation treatment for a duration of about maybe 20 to about 39 days in smaller doses per day. So all of these doses add together and form a required dose that is able to help to cure the cancer.
So if I get you very right, when it comes to radiation, so we learned in elementary science that the sun shines, it gives us light, heat is radiated to Earth, and there are some other spectra when it comes to the radiation. For radiation, for example, for those who want an easier example, if you go home and you use microwave, it uses radiation technology to heat food for you, right? If you go to the hospital, exactly. X-rays are radiation technologies that are used to investigate things in your body. Even when doctors are investigating whether you have cancer or not, they use radiation technology to look into your body to find these out. And the same radiation technology can be used to fight cancer cells. Is that a good summary of what you've said so far?
Exactly. I mean, it's a perfect summary. So let me just add that the same X-rays that is used to take an X-ray. So when you go to the hospital and you want to take maybe a chest X-ray, or maybe you have a fracture in your bones and they do an X-ray and you look at the image and you can see the bone, the same X-ray is part of the different types of radiation energy that we use to do the treatment. Just that during the treatment, the dose of the radiation that is used to treat is slightly higher compared to what, in fact, is much higher compared to what is used to take that image. Now, I wanted to add quickly, just to dispel a myth, that radiation treatment, we don't radiate every part of the human body. Usually when somebody has cancer at just one part of the body. I mean, in rare cases, some people have some types of cancers that they may need a wider area of their body surface area being radiated, but most of the time it is a limited area. You know, I'm saying this because I get some patients who come in and when they hear the word radiation treatment, they don't show up again because they have been told that once you go through radiation treatment, it means something is going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. And I want to add that, I mean, radiation treatment has done a lot of good things for many people. There are many people with prostate cancer specifically who have been cured by radiation treatment. Breast cancer, people have had it as part of their treatment and they are doing so well. Many people, they are doing so well several years after their treatment. And there are people who have pain as a result of cancer, and just after having radiation treatment in less than 3-5 days, their pain is gone and they can go back to their normal life and all of that. So radiation treatment really does a lot of good. So what I want to add is, if you have concerns, it's always good to discuss that with your oncologist so that you do not shy away from getting the treatment that you really need because of something you've heard from somewhere, which may not even be true at the end of the day.
So one thing we've established here is that we can cure cancer, because you've mentioned that some prostate patients, some other patients, you've used radiation treatment to cure them. But how often do patients have to come for these treatments?
Okay, so the duration of the treatment, and in fact, for all types of cancer treatment, it's always guided by the stage of the cancer, and then the type of cancer, and then certain features of the cancer. So let me use, for example, somebody who has early stage breast cancer. They will usually have to go through surgery, and then they may have to receive some chemotherapy. I'm saying may because it's not everybody who will receive chemotherapy after their surgery when they have breast cancer. So at the end of the day, some of these people, after the surgery and the chemotherapy, they may have to have radiotherapy. Now, the duration for somebody who has early stage and they've had a surgery and the tumor has been taken out, the radiotherapy may take up to about 25 to 30 days of radiotherapy. And usually it's given continuously from Monday through to Friday. And then usually Saturdays and Sundays, we leave those out, except in unique situations. So for somebody in that category, they will have it continuously. And then at the end of the 20 to 30 days, then they are done with their radiotherapy. They may not need to have radiotherapy ever again, except if they do have disease recurrence in any other part of their body that may require radiotherapy. Now, for somebody who has cancer that, has unfortunately spread to some part of the bone, they may need radiotherapy to help take away the pain that they are going through. There are some people who even get paralyzed because of spread of cancer to some parts of the bone, and that is compressing or that is putting pressure on their spinal cord. Such individuals may need radiotherapy for just a few days, and then if they do have disease in any other part of their body, they may require another treatment again. So it depends on the stage of the disease, the situation you are dealing with, the type of cancer. That will usually tell how long the person will be on treatment.
So all these choices are made after the thorough investigation by the radiologist, right? If I got it right. So
the radiation oncologist.
By the radiation oncologist. So after all the investigations, yes, and the tests done on you, the anatomic pathologist will do their work, all of you will do it, and then you determine the stage in which the cancer is, the type, the size, that determines the various stages of therapy and treatment and how you are going to combine or otherwise.
Exactly.
Okay. But there's one question I want to ask. What are the costs when it comes to this type of therapy? Is this something we can afford? And is there financial assistance available to help with these things?
Thank you very much. When it comes to cost, I think it would depend on the facility where the individual is getting these treatments. If it's a public facility, things may be different. Whereas when it comes to a private facility, it will be equally also different. Now, the cost, yes, I would say that it may be expensive depending on the person's financial capabilities. I do know that in some institutions, some components of the health, national health insurance is able to fund a particular percentage of it. I'm not able to be specific about the percentage, but I do know that some institutions, the NHIS does fund a percentage, whereas in some, it does not fund. So it will depend on the facility that the individual is receiving treatment. At the end of the day, the value that is given or the outcome of the radiation treatment, I believe, really, really, really pays off for whatever cost may be, carried as a result of receiving this treatment. And you see, when we have those treatments in the country, it is much better because, I mean, in the past, people have to travel outside of the country. And this is where only people who can afford. I mean, how many people in Ghana have a passport to talk about getting a visa and being able to travel outside just to go and get, you know, treatment? So whatever the cost will be, in as much as it will be expensive for some, I believe that we can gather resources at least to be able to have whatever treatment that we require as long as it's available in the country.
So, Doc, lessons I've learned from you today. Treatments generate fear in people, but people should not be afraid because, one, we have the facilities. Two, we have the human resources who are experienced to take us through the therapy. Now, we are also afraid of side effects. But side effects are as a result of how, for example, in chemotherapy, the drugs work, but they are manageable and they are temporary. So for those who are afraid, they will lose their hair, their skin colors will change, their nails, the sores, the burning sensation they experience in their mouths and all those things. They are manageable and temporary. So that should not hold us back from seeking health. And these therapies are also curative. You have completely cured some patients and they're also palliative. There are certain instances you've used it to remove or reduce pain. And also, even though there are financial challenges, there are certain instances that health insurance and other insurance packages can give you a bit of hope. So we shouldn't lose hope, right? Exactly. Have I learned right today?
Exactly. I think everything you've said is exactly on point. It's on point. I would like to add that this is very dear to me. You know, when it comes to cancer, I often say that people should, you know, if you ignore it, if you see any sign and symptom, I mean, this is, we are in Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but let me just speak generally. If you notice anything unusual, kindly report it to the hospital. You know, I've had people who have reported to the hospital. Let me just add this, okay, maybe this may be a bit. You see, I had a patient some time back who hid the symptoms from the whole family. And so it was so late. In fact, so don't be afraid. Show up in the hospital. Please, you can have some treatment. If you present early, you will be fine. If you present early, you could have a cure, depending on if you present very late. But not talking about it, not going to the hospital, it doesn't necessarily take the symptoms away, and it doesn't take away the problem. That's what I want to add. I don't know why
it's not seeking help. Not going to the hospital will not solve the problem. So we must seek help because we have help. Dr. Stephen Pachi, you've been amazing on this episode of the Cancer Awareness Month on the Super Morning Show. We hope to get you in the studio one of these days to answer live questions of our listeners. For today, the conversation is about you educating, but we'll bring you back again so that listeners can call in and ask questions that I might have missed on the show. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
You're welcome. Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day as well. My name is Kojo Agoto Boateng. This has been the Cancer Awareness Month conversation with Dr. Stephen Pachi. Dr. Stephen Pachi is a clinical radiation oncologist. And as we've learned today, oncologists are doctors who focus on cancer, right, Doc?
Exactly, exactly.
Thank you so much. The Super Morning Show continues. Stay with us.